Rameses was almost ambushed. He and his personal regiment fought off a contingent of the Hittite army until they were rescued. And then the next day, after fierce fighting, there was an inconclusive battle. The result? A treaty. And one of those bizarre coincidences, the treaty is inscribed on one of Rameses' temple walls in Karnak, and tablets describing the same treaty in identical wording have been found in the Hittite capital at Bogos Khoi. In other words, there was a balance of power set which lasted for a considerable period of time. It was a game, as I said, of cat and mouse. The whole thing depended on gold. As long as Egypt had gold, it had a powerful political presence. And gold came from Nubia. The New Kingdom pharaohs conquered Nubia far more intensively than their predecessors. They took control of lucrative trade routes which had hitherto been controlled by the Nubians, by indigenous black Africans, and effectively turned it into a colony. And the pharaohs maintained a high official of great prestige at Waset, or at Thebes. His job, he was called the king's son of Kush. Kush, being the kingdom in Nubia, was to administer Nubia along Egyptian lines and milk it for all they could get. In the classic colonizing fashion, an Egyptianized Nubian nobility arose over the centuries, and the worship of Amun spread far to the south. Nubia's gold mines were worked by prisoners of war and slaves and convicts working under the harshest conditions. Egypt was an imperial power, but never again did it ever achieve the heights it enjoyed under Seti and Rameses II. The last of the great New Kingdom pharaohs was Rameses III, who came to the throne in 1187 BC at a time of intensifying political struggles along and beyond Egypt's frontiers. He spent most of his time protecting Egypt from incursions, from desert Libyan nomads, and from the so-called sea people, seamen, professional warriors, and just other warriors and brigands who lived hand-to-mouth on the edges of the eastern Mediterranean states. And then, in 1200 BC, a savage drought wreaked havoc on the Hittite Empire. The sea peoples turned in desperation on Egypt, but were driven away by Rameses' army. There are dramatic pictures of this, inscriptions on temple walls showing them fighting ships. And with Rameses III's death in 1151, Egypt changed forever. It entered a long period of unrest on its frontiers. By 1100, it was effectively again two countries. The fabled wealth of the Egyptians faded into history, and the pharaoh's diplomatic clout faded also with their wealth. 1,000 years before Christ, the great pharaohs were but a distant memory. Much of the wealth of these pharaohs also looted from their tombs. After 1070 BC, Egypt gradually became a cockpit for various foreign conquerors and even came under Nubian rule in a beautiful turn of history for a period in the late 8th century BC when Nubian pharaohs restored the old order. And then, after a long period of Greek influence and rule from Lower Egypt, the land of the pharaohs became a province of the Roman Empire in 30 BC. A magnificent chronicle of 3,000 years of changing civilization. It's really fascinating how you see Egypt transforming from a despotic power of divine kings to a land headed by shepherds of the people with a flowering of art to the great imperial years of Seti and Rameses when Egypt was a great power in a world of competing great powers. And we'll look more closely at this late Mediterranean world of Egypt's heyday when we look at the Minoan civilization of Crete in the next lecture.